Hi, David Silverman here.
And Matt Groening.
Jim Brooks.
John Beattie.
So we were just talking about the popularity of the show as after the Christmas episode, I had gone back to Maryland to visit my folks, and I was in the shopping mall wearing a Simpsons crew jacket, and I was stopped by about 10 or 12 people wondering, where did you get that jacket? I want a jacket like that. Hey, did you see that Christmas special? Oh, that was awesome. So I knew then, at least from my own experience, that something was up.
Did Danny come in with this theme right off the bat? He did, didn't he? I mean, that's what he...
No, you know what? We gave him a click track with...
I think it was After You Gone. I put together a click track with like a choir at the beginning, and then Benny Goodman playing After You Gone. Something like that.
And then Danny ignored the click track completely and came up with his own theme. But it's so complicated and syncopated that it worked.
That is the old title sequence. I remember that. Wow.
But and the whole deal about having a blackboard where in the main title you change a joke every week, which
right.
was...
Well, what I didn't realize is that main titles were much shorter, even in 1989. Because the last time I really paid close attention to television was when I was a kid, and main titles used to be about a minute long. And so that's what, and I thought, hey, we'll do a long main title. We have to do less animation, but we'll toss the fans a bone by putting in extra jokes with the couch gag and the blackboard.
It's sort of coming off the old Dick Van Dyke show. Will you trip over the couch? Will he or not? Of course, then we found out with the shows were getting longer and longer that we didn't want to cut anything out from the show, so we cut down the main title. We had three different lengths of that. This is the equal MC Square joke of Maggie. She's playing with blocks. They're playing with their own blocks, Scrabble blocks.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Ed, triple word score.
Hey, no abbreviation.
Not ID, Dad. Ed.
This was actually, it's a funny joke. It was hard for us to stage it at first. You're trying to get a simple Scrabble setup, and you read it quickly.
We could look this Ed thing up in the dictionary.
We got one?
I think it's under the short leg of the couch.
I think I was partly inspired by the Big Snit. They play Scrabble in the Big
right.
Snit, I remember.
See, it was actually the first show that I did. The first show that I animated.
Well, sure, the first show John did, but yeah.
Yeah, this was my first script. My first 30-minute script ever. My first script for The Simpsons.
Oh, that's interesting. This is my first directing a 30-minute half hour. So it was the first for both of us.
You're not going anywhere
until you... Oh, I remember we had a problem because the bananas were colored wrong.
Yeah.
And I guess they don't have bananas in Korea. That was what we learned.
Well, not only that, this is before we even had a floor plan for the house. Because this is the very first episode that I did, and we hadn't really solidified what the house looked like. We didn't have a full-time production designer on the show.
This was the joke that inspired a computer virus. I have no idea how, out of all the millions of jokes on The Simpsons, Quijibo inspired the Melissa virus hacker.
Really? Well, that's for you.
There's also a little zine called Quijibo, just about pop culture.
This was actually the first time we animated Principal Skinner, even though this was the second episode that aired.
He was several characters, as I remember, who were fairly vaguely drawn on paper, and you didn't really get who they were until you heard Harry perform them.
Boys, let's see your hands.
Yeah, actually, Skinner was based on a drawing that you did, Matt, and he was kind of, I think, based on the teacher that Little Bongo has in Life in Hell.
Well, yeah, Skinner was, at least the drawing was inspired by a couple of teachers and a principal sort of combined into one pompous. You know, one of the great things about cartoons, it's vengeance, you know?
I noticed, by the way, there's two of Bart's other pals, Lewis and Richard, who they're kind of like Shermie and Peanuts. They kind of vanished. Didn't quite make it.
Mrs. Krabappel, isn't Bart supposed to face the window so he won't be tempted to look at his neighbor's paper?
You're right, Martin. Bart.
We also see that Milhouse's hair sometimes is black and sometimes is blue in the early days.
How is that good?
Marshall Wallace is hilarious as Krabappel. And Russi Taylor as Martin.
This story pitched out pretty easily, didn't it, John?
Yeah, I just wrote down a list of 100 bad things Bart could do and tried to imagine what could follow, and 99 of them went nowhere, and cheating on an IQ test went somewhere, and you broke it pretty quickly.
You know, visually, the dream sequence. I was at UCLA. I did a project where I had to do a set design for a play called The Adding Machine, which is an American Expressionist play about a guy who's an accountant and he starts going crazy. And what I did in the design, in the set design, is as the play progressed, I put more and more numbers hiding in the scenery. And then I found I could use this idea on this dream sequence you came up with, John.
As I recall, the series was not going to do fantasy sequences when it first premiered. And it was only, and this one is sort of tentatively written, you can see, but after we saw everything the directors could do with them, we decided to allow it.
This is a little bit of Saul Steinberg in some of that background.
Oh, absolutely. Steinberg was an influence. Oh, I tried a trick here where every scene I took one frame off until you had a scene that was like five frames, and then flashing back into color.
Bothering me, Mrs. Krabappel. I'm finished. May I go outside and read under a tree?
Certainly, Martin.
Face making we did in the Tracy Ullman show. That's a face my dad used to do. And I think if we were doing this now, there'd probably be a music cue there, but we didn't do as many music cues, perhaps.
Yeah, I remember doing a meeting with Barry Diller when we were asking for an extension on the animation, and he watched this episode, and one of the things he said was, "You are going to score it, aren't you?" And our response was basically, sure we're going to score it. You wouldn't not score it. And I really got the impression that nobody on our side had thought about it up until that moment. Do we owe our scoring to Barry Diller?
Oh, no. Let's say so.
No,
sure. He's still important.
No, actually, you know what? Here's the honest truth. What I wanted for this show and what we have to this day is a full orchestra. And no offense to the animators, but I thought, you know, low-budget television animation, we needed all the help we could get, and we should use the orchestra to anchor emotion and use a full orchestra. And it's something actually I read in an interview with Mel Brooks. He talked about using music to play the emotion. Don't use music to play comedy. And that's been my note over and over again.
I hate it when you take credit for Diller's stuff, man. Now it's going to be how he started the USA Network.
I remember it was
very... That's actually my handwriting, by the way.
It was very controversial how stupid Homer's handwriting could be. And now, of course, it's not completely sure if he knows the entire alphabet.
I know the dumbing of Homer. God help us.
What do we need a psychiatrist for? We know our kid is nuts.
Now, you'll notice that Lauren Pryor sounds a lot like Mr. Burns at this point. This aptitude test we administered this morning has revealed that the
young Bart here is what we call a gifted child. A what? Oh, there's that trumpet mouth that Matt worked so hard to exterminate.
Yeah, we used to use a trumpet mouth on the Tracy Ullman show, but it didn't quite work so well on the series.
Well, one of the fun things about watching these early episodes is looking at this as what it was, which was an experiment. I mean, all 13 episodes in the original series were in the works before we saw the results of the first episode. And what's amazing is, I mean, obviously there are glitches and things that we discarded, but how many things we kept. I mean, one of the things we discarded were giant plants in the background, which I find very distracting.
You know, it was so loose, so we were so free in how we moved around and some low comedy up there, and you know, this show is legitimately social satire.
We should
retest him. No, I think we should move him to
another school. Better yet. This was nicely laid out by Greg Vanzo, I'd like to mention, because Greg Vanzo, who was a layout artist then, and now has his own studio, Rough Draft.
So I recall Diller laying this out, very distinct.
Well, he has a lot of influence, Barry. Music, animation.
You know what's funny about this is this started the war between Skinner and Bart. Which we dropped after a while, but we used to be Skinner's goal to get Bart out of the school. That was the whole thing. And we set up this idea that Bart kept flunking over and over again so that he would never be gone.
The other thing, too, is that it seemed like we were starting like some sort of partnership team with Dr. Pryor and Skinner, but that sort of dropped out in favor with Superintendent Chalmers, which was a much better combination.
How about
I've been abused by other writers over the years for Eat My Shorts, which Bart said earlier in the classroom scene, but in our defense, I wanted to point out that you guys were all very specific that we should not try to come up with clever, original taglines for Bart Simpson. They were supposed to be things he had heard on TV and repeated. And then, when the show got so popular, it somehow seemed as if we were claiming that these were original sayings. So I'd like to say at the outset, we never thought Eat My Shorts was an original tagline.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to do mea culpas.
You know, the other thing was, cowabunga. Did we ever have Bart say cowabunga on the show? I don't think...
I think so.
We must have, but
not at the beginning. I think that got picked up from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because I remember feeling very strongly that we should not do cowabunga. But... I carumba, on the other hand.
So we're trying to maintain now. We never did anything original. This is our...
But the idea of kid stuff. Because I was asked by interviewers, okay, Eat My Shorts is Bart's catchphrase this year. You know, what are you going to come up with next year? And then have to say, well, we didn't make that up.
We have a whole department of catchphrase thinking,
in an ever fainter voice.
Because if you do one day, you may achieve something.
That was great.
Please, the way the design of this school came out that I ended up doing, but it was out of necessity, really, because we, as I said before, we didn't really have a production designer. And we kind of made it up as we went along. And I think halfway through the first season, we finally solidified what the house looked like and what the school looked like.
Make your own rules. If you feel sleepy, take a nap. If you get bored, feel free to take out a book and start reading.
What should I read, ma'am?
Why, anything you want, Bart.
Oh, it's another voice that Marcia did.
Oh. A comic book? How did this get mixed in here? We used it last week as a prop in a film we made about...
So is this based on any school that you went to, John? You're a pretty smart guy, you know.
Well, you know, I transferred from Catholic school to a fairly progressive elementary school in third grade, but this was really something that everybody created together. It just came out of the story.
You know, sentences spelled the same backwards and forwards.
Radioactive Man comics was my idea of behind that was that it that Homer was the radioactive man, but Bart worshipped this superhero named Radioactive Man. The other idea that Homer that Bart worshipped Krusty the Clown, who was basically Homer in clown makeup.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that was the original idea behind that.
I like all these clever palindromes and the...
We're dissecting him next week.
Is Omen Sahib, was that your own palindrome? Or?
Now let's all welcome the newest member of...
Oh, that's an anagram, isn't it? No, I remember I poured every little elementary school trick I ever knew into a 71-page draft for a 45-page script, and...
Wow.
Sam and Matt had to go through the whole tangle.
I remember reading the first draft. It was hilarious, but it was pretty long. It was 70 pages.
Very good, Ian. Does anyone else have an example?
You know, I had one of those chairs, and it was very good for my back, but terrible for my knees.
One of the great thrills I had in the early days looking at the show was when I sat there with, like, three generations of my family, and each of us laughed at a different joke. It was very rare that we all laughed at the same time.
Bart. What other paradoxes affect our lives?
Well, for me, as a cartoonist who worked in print, to see these characters alive and moving it was like hallucinating. It was like a weird dream. It just the most amazing thing. And now, obviously, I'm very comfortable with it, but I just could not get over the idea of little sketches actually being alive. That was, you know, I know other people get entertained by the show, but for me, it's like... Wait, those are drawings. They're moving. They're alive. It's really fantastic.
It's one of the things that I think is really great about animation is people just relate to the animation character, but the animation character can only exist on, you know, on film, right? There's not like one actor you can point to performing the character because it's a combination of the voice artist and the animation going on.
Another mediocre genius, yes. Not very bright at all.
Geniuses can be so cruel.
This is a different kind of bully.
Mentally being pushed into the mud.
What are you reading there?
It does say something about us that as the years went by, we gave up more and more on Bart's friends and created more and more bullies. There are now four bullies in Springfield Elementary School.
Well, you know, when it came time to do the merchandise, they said, you know, what we need are villains, antagonists. We need somebody to beat Bart up. That's what kids want to play with.
And out of such simple inspirations.
And you know what sells now? to the. You know what the selling Simpsons figurine, the best selling? It's Grandpa.
Really?
Yeah, Grandpa and Mr. Burns.
No kidding.
Yeah, who would have thunk?
Interesting about, you know, how the characters have evolved from the Tracy Ullman show. I think Grandpa is largely untouched. He looks the same.
Elise, keep an eye out for the guy with the peanuts.
There's no guy with peanuts, dear.
Jeez, no beer, no opera dogs.
Shh.
Here we have a little indication that Lisa is a smart one in the family.
Ooh.
If not horribly off model.
Oh my God.
This whole scene is a little ugly. It's a little tough to watch.
Yeah, that mouth flapping,
yeah.
Too. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
When did the M for Homer's hair debut?
There it is now. I think we kind of solidified that for... This is great,
oh, this
by
is
the way.
A funny scene.
It's in Russian because it was the only version of Carmen I think Fox had the rights to. This was fun to do. I was trying to think as much... Chuck Jones as I could when I was staging this.
Who's the Lord Putt?
He's a bullfighter.
No way a bull's gonna miss a target that.
Just made him stiff and had some very
Man,
silly
Man, the pacing
mouth.
On this is leisurely. I love it. This is great.
Yeah, I have read a lot of abuse on the internet of the first season pacing, but I would have to point out that we had never seen a show like The Simpsons before we started trying to do this, and, you know, we were kind of learning on the fly.
Well, I think one of the things we learned was that we could squeeze more jokes than usual in a show because there were no laughs. You didn't have to wait for the laugh.
Do we use the speed-up machine the first year?
I can't remember. I think the second season we did, but not the first season.
So that's part of, you know, there's 6% of it right there, or whatever it is.
Hardy har har. Get it?
But I think it's true because, like a normal sitcom, you write about maybe a third less material because a third of the time is spent with the laugh tracks. There's Milhouse with the black hair.
Yeah, there's something the kids do, play with marbles.
Absolutely. Your kids today, they love marbles.
Maybe even way back in 1989 they did.
I don't think I ever played with marbles. I don't know the rules.
Oh, sorry, Bart.
They did back in the teens.
Tickets to a snooty movie directed by some Swedish meatball.
Oh, no.
Well, we have the sentimental moment outside.
Look, Dad, I... got something to tell
you. Can I wait, son? It's getting kind of dark.
So we do a lot of shadowing now, but back then it wasn't clear if we could do these shadows or if we could afford them, and so we would do it occasionally. But then we got much more elaborate at the shadowing and lighting.
Yeah, you might remember better, but I remember people watching this screening and being amazed by the shadow effect. I don't know if we had done anything like this before.
I don't think we had, you know. It was like the first time we really add some dimension to these flat characters.
Still trying to get you a lab partner, Bart. If we don't get any volunteers soon, I'll assign somebody. Say, what's that? It looks dangerous.
Well, it's really...
No, I'd forgotten how much... How many tricks we did this early. I mean, just strange angles and playing stuff in long shot and...
And I love Homer's...
Cutting outside.
Being a dad, you know. I just, you know, just...
That little escape of the hamsters there was the only way we could do the earlier dissection joke. It was felt it was too horrible if they didn't later get away.
It's like people really remember that. I think most people say, what are those things? Oh, the hamsters.
Well, we actually got letters of complaint about the wildest stuff back in the old days. There was a previous scene when the teacher throws the comic book in the waste paper basket, and that was considered censorship by some people who wrote in complaining.
Yeah, well, you know, kinda. But I was thinking I could go undercover.
Undercover? Bart's head is very twisty here every now and then. We used to do a lot of the twister mouths.
Well, I could pretend I'm a regular dumb kid. You know, to study them, all the stuff they do with each other. You know, see what makes them tick.
We spent a little bit more time on the end
There's
of
this. There's a reference to Dr. Jane Goodall, and she actually wrote a letter to the show. She was.
I got an autographed book from her in the mail, which I still have. If I were more honest, I would have given it to Al Jean because he wrote the line, but it was too cool to give away.
Well, I got to meet her years later, and she was honored by that mention and asked for a contribution.
This we decided to do in one long take as opposed to cutting to different angles as he wrote his confession. I thought it was a nice balance at this point in the episode to have just one long scene.
Interesting choice on the plant.
Nancy's brilliant here.
That's great reading. This is actually animated here in the States by a very good animator by the name of Dan Haskett, who was on the show at the beginning and did some designs, including the design of Moe and the design of Barney. Intelligence test.
Period. Finished already. Principal Skinner.
This was the second episode done. At the time, you guys again will know better, but there was a rumor in the office if the animation came back as messed up as the first episode had, that we were going to shut down production, and people were wondering if we were ever going to open again.
I had a little accident in chemistry today.
Well, I bet it's nothing a little turpentine won't take off. Come on, son. Don't be discouraged, son. I bet Einstein turned himself all sorts of colors before he invented the light bulb.
Dad, I got to tell you something. Hope you won't be too mad.
What is it, son?
There's a big stretcher mouth.
What?
It's kind of fun having a yellow character talking to a green character.
But I just want to say that the past few weeks have been great. Me and you have done stuff together.
This is just a little thing that this was a scene that was coming back wrong every time, and that was the best take we got, folks. The lip sync was off, and the head was bouncing around, and the eyes were still.
Faraday is only on Love You, don't you think? Bart's only I love you, is that?
When did Homer stop strangling Bart? It seemed like we forgot to do it for a year, and then when we tried to bring it back, it seemed so horrible because we hadn't maintained it.
I think he still strangles Bart. Didn't I just see an episode where he did that?
Well, we've tried to bring it back, and it's pretty harsh. The original idea, I mean, we were very specific back in the Tracy Ullman days about the strangling. First of all, it couldn't have really any effect. It had to be totally impulsive. There could be no sadistic, methodical element to it. And basically, Homer always had to get his comeuppance, or Bart had to strangle him back, or something. And also, that was the cartoony part of the show. We were not advocating child abuse.
No, just usual cartoon violence. Homer at the end, by the way, when he's yelling and screaming and acting with a really crazy face, I think that was one of the early times where he got away with like Homer looking really wonderfully insane, and that I think inspired many great moments later down the line.
Wow, and look at this. Here's a flash of the past. You can actually read the credits.
Read the credits.
On the TV show.
Yeah.
Instead of being squeezed.
Not only that, they were slow enough that you could read them.